Welcome to The Good Stuff, a podcast from The Wheel, which brings you inspiring voices, news and views from around the nonprofit world. My name is Mairead O'Connor, and this is the third episode of a three-part mini-series celebrating the fourth anniversary this September of the adoption of the Sustainable Development Goals by the United Nations General Assembly. In episode one, we met Ireland's youth delegates to the United Nations, Valerie Mollet and Jack O'Connor, and they spoke to us about youth activism and the SDGs. In the second episode, we spoke with Ali Sheridan about individual and community action and how to put sustainability on the agenda in your local community. And in the studio today with us, we have Joanne McGarry, who's campaigns manager, and Cliona Sharkey, policy advisor with Trocra. And I suppose Trocra has very much a global view of the Sustainable Development Goals and will help us, I think, to make that link between the local and the global. So you're very welcome, Joanne and Cliona. So I think we'd like to start maybe with what the SDGs are and how they link very much with the work that Trocra does. Cliona.
Thanks, Mairead. Yeah, the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals, are the child of the Millennium Development Goals process, which many people will be familiar with. And the difference between the MDGs, the Millennium Development Goals, and these new SDGs are two key changes. So one is the fact that these are global Sustainable Development Goals, whereas the Millennium Development Goals were very much focused on positive changes that the international community wanted to see in developing countries. The Sustainable Development Goals are a global agenda, so ranging 17 goals in all, so much longer than the Millennium Development Goals. They incorporate things from poverty and hunger through water, through economic equality and inequality, through to things like cities and infrastructure, climate change, consumption and production patterns, and international cooperation in order to deliver the goals. So really a global agenda, a much more holistic agenda, incorporating both social, economic and environmental aspects. So that's the real difference between the Millennium Development Goals and this set of Sustainable Development Goals adopted in 2015. And I suppose what they are is a set of, as the name suggests, global goals that the international community will work to together. And the goals are quite high level, so they're quite, in some ways, quite generic. But the expectation is that governments would establish the national relevance of those goals to their own context. And there are a set of targets under each of those goals established by the international community as well. So something more concrete to be able to see for governments to be able to work to at the national level. And the other key component then obviously is that because it's not possible for any one country to deliver on all aspects of the agenda without international cooperation and support, that is the key component. So it is about national delivery, but it's also about global cooperation for delivery. So that's not just in terms of international financial assistance like ODA and things like that, but also about policy coherence. So making sure that policy and action in one area, for example, in relation to agriculture, trade, tax, etc., that things that are taking place in that realm don't negatively impact on progress and action towards other goals like poverty and hunger and institutional governance, things like that.
Thanks, Cliona. Joanne, from the point of view of Trocra itself as an NGO, what do the SDGs mean to you and the work that you do?
Well, I think as Cliona has pointed out, the SDGs are a really broad range of goals, and many of those goals intersect across each other. And when if you take something like climate change, for example, we're finding in Trocra, within the communities that we work with in developing countries, climate change is compounding all of the problems that are already there for many communities, like poverty, inequality, access to resources, those kind of problems that are already facing a family, for example, that's living in poverty. When climate change is put on top of those kind of problems, it makes everything worse, and it's actually bringing us back potentially in decades in terms of the progress that has been made in development. So for Trocra, certainly when it comes to an issue like climate change, we look at that from a climate justice point of view. The Sustainable Development Goals are putting the onus on both rich countries and poor countries to rise to this challenge. But Trocra takes the approach that the climate change crisis that we're facing has primarily been caused by rich countries, of which we are one. And we are seeing in the communities that we work with that it's the poorest communities who have done the least to create the climate change crisis that are suffering the most. So, for example, someone in Malawi, compared to someone in Ireland, emits 80 times less carbon. So a person in Ireland emits 80 times more carbon than someone who lives in Malawi. So from a climate justice point of view, that's completely unjust. So the onus is on rich countries to try to tackle this problem. Mm. So I suppose climate change, we're finding cuts across all of the goals within the Sustainable Development Goals agenda. So without addressing climate change, many of those goals will really struggle to be met.
Mm-hmm. And are you seeing, I suppose, in countries of the global south as well, the impact of climate change is being felt already much more acutely, I suppose, than maybe, you know, here sitting in Ireland in the studio?
Yeah, very much. I mean, the droughts and the floods that are being experienced today in East Africa are being experienced more and more frequently, and the gaps between those crises or droughts or floods are getting smaller. So a community has much less time to get over one shock before the next one comes. And we're talking about communities who are already suffering from all of those other impacts that I spoke about. They already are living in poverty. They already are in a very unequal setting. So those more frequent shocks that they're experiencing are making it even harder for them to have sustainable livelihoods that allow them, for example, to grow enough food to feed their families, to have a surplus which allows them to pay for school fees. Those kinds of problems are being exacerbated by the droughts and the floods that they're experiencing, which are being caused by climate change.
Okay. And Cliona, when we pull all of these issues together into a format like the 17 goals, how does that actually help to alleviate those problems? Like, what's the point of doing that thought exercise and pulling them all together into the Sustainable Development Goals?
I guess the proof of any framework or goal, etc., is in the pudding. So what's on paper is pretty good. It's for the SDGs, it's not perfect, but it was a compromise between so many different countries. Like, what's the value of such a framework like that is that I suppose between governments it's a basis for peer accountability and pressure to be brought to bear for who's doing what. But for civil society, for actors like Trogran, for Coalition 2030, which is the Irish national coalition on the SDGs, comprising social justice groups in Ireland, international NGOs like ourselves, and also environmental groups, the value of the SDGs for that kind of coalition and for such coalitions in other countries is that it provides us with a set of goals and targets that our government has signed up to, and that we can push them for implementation. So I think a lot of countries, particularly developed and richer countries, like to think that that they're already well on the way in terms of the SDGs, but in reality, I think the kind of shadow reporting that's done by domestic coalitions such as Coalition 2030 can point to the gap between the reality and the goals themselves. So, looking at the. And to take a couple of examples, in relation to a domestic issue, of course, housing is the one that's so obvious to everyone. In relation to international issues that we would be very conscious of, climate change, as Joanne said, is a huge one. I mean, as Joanne said, climate change cuts across all of the SDGs, the vast majority. And if we don't get to grips with the climate crisis, our ability to deliver on on key SDGs is really incredibly undermined and virtually impossible. So it provides groups like Coalition 2030 an opportunity to come together and build a common agenda, a common vision, and a basis on which to push the government for greater holistic action. So I think as an intellectual thought exercise, it's actually really valuable, because I think we're all seeing that all of us need to get our heads around this idea that everything is interconnected, and that whether we start with social justice, or we start with environmental justice, if we start with the global or we start with the local, ultimately we come to the same place, because it is all interconnected. So I think the SDGs do provide us with a space and a process to think those things out together and work towards them.
And that's a bigger conversation that's happening a lot now, and you kind of see it in lots of different contexts and even online and kind of social media conversations. Mm. People kind of wondering about that interconnectedness and kind of even, I suppose, posing questions about, well, what is the impact of maybe actions that we take in Ireland, and is there even any point in us, you know, we're so small on a global scale. So Joanne, maybe from your point of view, looking at the actions that that the Irish government or even Irish communities can take, what do you see as the impact of Irish action in the global context? What's the
Well, I'd start with kind of challenging the perception that we're a small player. Yes, we're a small country, we're a small island, that's for sure, but that's us being a small player, that just doesn't land anymore. Ireland is the third highest emitter of carbon in Europe per capita. So per person on the island of Ireland, we're the third highest emitters in Europe. And unfortunately, we're down in the bottom ranks amongst European countries in terms of our climate action. So we can't keep talking about Ireland being a small player and what influence can we have. There is no shadow of a doubt, if we're the third highest emitter in Europe, we are contributing to the climate crisis that we're seeing in Ireland and as Troker, that we're seeing in so many of the communities that we work with.
And do you think there's a broad understanding of the sustainability agenda and the sustainable development goals themselves? Is there, I suppose, a common understanding or a popular understanding of them, do you think, out there?
I'd probably separate an understanding of sustainability from an understanding of the sustainable development goals, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Because no. I would please suggest do. That there isn't a very high level of awareness of the sustainable development goals. Maybe there is in schools, because there's so many groups doing really, really high quality development education work in schools. But outside of the school environment, perhaps amongst our peer group, or I would question whether the sustainable development goals are very high on people's agenda. But I would feel strongly that sustainability is high on people's agenda.
The sustainable development goals, the 17 goals, it's a big, ambitious agenda. How are we measuring up? We're coming up to the fourth anniversary. We're heading into the fifth year now, and 2030 being our deadline, if you like, to achievement. How are we doing so far?
Well, it'll be interesting to see the discussions at the upcoming summit. I think every country is probably able to point to elements of success, but that's why civil society shadow reporting and the critique by the local national and environmental organisations working on these issues is so critical to highlight the reality on the ground. So I think it'll be a mixed picture, but certainly as the examples we cited earlier here in Ireland, I think we haven't seen much progress in that regard. So the issues of housing is so evident to everyone. Even on climate change, our performance there, that's something that the Coalition 2030 pointed out last year when Ireland was up for review, pointed out strongly also, and in relation to tax, the facilitation of tax evasion. So I'm not aware of any great progress on those fronts. In relation to climate action, it's probably, it is likely that the government will go to both the Climate Ambition Summit that's being held around the same time as the SDG Summit, and to the SDG Summit, citing the new all of government plan for tackling climate breakdown as one of their signature contributions to the climate agenda. And there are some really good things in that plan that actually the Stop Climate Chaos Coalition have been calling for many years in terms of meaningful, robust climate policy planning, which would make if implemented, can make a huge impact. So we're hoping that will be implemented before the end of the year, into early next year, certainly before an election. So some really good stuff in there that can make a big difference going forward. But the remaining problem is urgency and ambition. So the level of ambition and urgency in the plan is not in line with what the Paris Agreement calls for. And it's very clear when you go to, whether you go to the ground where Trogra is working and see the extent of the crisis and how fragile things already are on the ground, or if you go to the conference rooms of the UN climate conferences and you listen to the small island developing states pleading and demanding that the international community respond with much greater urgency, because they're in entire nations, their culture, their landmass, everything is threatened by climate change, and the pathway we're currently on is not viable for any of us, never mind these most vulnerable regions. So I think in terms of where are we, every country, as I said, can probably point to some progress. But as Joanne pointed out at the beginning, there are a number of issues, and climate, biodiversity, environmental sustainability in general cuts across all of them. And if we don't get to grips with these crises, the viability of the goals as a whole are really undermined. Our ability to deliver on our social and economic goals really depends on us getting to grips with the climate crisis and with the sustainability crisis.
Joanne, for listeners, individuals or community groups who want to, I suppose, contribute to our achievement of these goals, what advice would you give? What can someone in Ireland do to really help push this forward?
I think there's many, many things. And I would say to anyone that's listening, just start the first step, whatever that is most comfortable for you as an individual, whether that's something in your home. There's lots of tips out there for people to get started in terms of living more sustainably within their own households. There's a very good website called Eco-Conscious Living, which has lots of tips for somebody just literally from using cleaning products that have no chemicals in them, that kind of thing. I think people within their workplaces could be more activist. They could be talking to their employers about how their employer's carbon footprint is, in terms of how our workplaces are contributing to our footprint as a country. And then I think the key thing really is, in addition to those changes someone can make at a personal level, is to use our voice as active citizens, as voters, as people who have influence over our elected politicians. And as Cliona said, we really do have incredible access to our TDs here in Ireland, and we need to use that, and we can use it, and they should welcome that because we vote them into power the next time round. So I'd say to anybody to look up, first of all, who their TD is, if they're not aware. There's a website called Find My TD. Does what it says on the tin. Make sure you're familiar with who your TDs are. Ring them, write to them, and better still, go in and visit them in their clinics, which the dates of which will all be on their website, and tell them that you're concerned about this issue. And the more that they hear that, the less likely it will be that they can say, we're just not hearing this on the doorsteps. This just isn't a problem that I'm hearing in my constituency. They can't still say that with 15,000 students on the street last March.
I suppose one of the things that we would say about our members, you know, whether they're a community organisation in a small rural area, or they're a social enterprise working at a national level, or a charity working at an international level, no matter what activity they're involved in, it will be contributing in some way to one of the Sustainable Development Goals. And I suppose that's the The beauty of it is that it is so interconnected, and it does link, I suppose, organisations working in very distinct areas together, or kind of shows where those opportunities are for maybe for collaboration even, or for thinking about how our issue, which we might think of as very local or very specific, is linked with wider or other themes. Is there something in that, Cliona, you think, for maybe groups that might necessarily see themselves in a under the frame of sustainability to kind of rethink their relationship with that word and maybe what it means?
I think that on the one hand, I know that particularly many local and small groups are very like scarce resources, often on a voluntary basis, things like that. So it's extremely challenging. Very often, like very, very effective because driven by that passion and local experience. But it's really challenging to know how and where to engage in these kind of sometimes quite nebulous frameworks and constructs, things like that. But probably the value in having this kind of holistic coalition that we have, this Coalition 2030, and the various fora that are set, organized by different members of the coalition that span into the different sectors and area, are maybe a bit easier for people to get engaged at that level. I guess the value, and I certainly would say it also for Trokra and probably for any organization, it helps you understand your blind spots and the interconnections with the other issues. As I said, whether your starting point is social justice or environmental justice, economic justice, or if your starting point is local or global or policy or practice on the ground, ultimately you're going to meet each other. You're going to end up in the same place because we are all dependent on one another and progress being made and coherence being achieved in order for change to really happen. So whether it's now or down the line, whether it's through decentralized or engagement or engagement in the kind of national processes and structures, there probably is opportunity there for all types of organizations. It's just finding that, as Joanne said, it's finding the entry point and the issue that makes sense for you, not just because you feel you should, but because it makes sense for you and it helps you deliver your mission.
Final question. Are you optimistic about this agenda and the achievement, I suppose, of change by 2030 through the Sustainable Development Goals?
I think it's all up for grabs. I think anyone reading the evidence that's coming out internationally, anyone who's looking on the ground, whether here in Ireland and obviously particularly in the countries where we're working, can see how grave things are and how many serious problems there are, where the intersection of environmental crises, social crises, and are meeting one another. Huge challenges ahead. The later we leave it to get to grips with these, the more challenging it's going to be. So I think we have to be frank and honest about that. But as I said, I think it is all up for grabs. The SDGs as a framework are as useful as we decide to make them. And the future is there for us to make, and no one of us have enough power or influence to realise a positive outcome on our own. And it's only through working together and figuring out the answers to the challenges and pushing together to overcome the very strong vested interests that want things to remain and power structures to remain as they are, that we can realise that change. I'm a pragmatic idealist. I think we've got a lot of work to do. The mobilisation, as Joanne said, there's a huge increase in awareness and concern, and the mobilisation of people all over the world. And as Joanne said, the resilience, like the pure resilience of people on the ground in and of itself against repeated crises, it really puts it up to us to do what we need to do to overcome the crises.
So thanks so much to Joanne and to Cliona from Trokra for joining us today. Lots there to contemplate, and I think lots of interesting actions maybe even for us to think about how we might make our own impact in this SDG agenda. We hope you've enjoyed the discussion across the three episodes of the mini-series at this stage. At The Wheel, we would very much see sustainable communities as being socially resilient, environmentally healthy, and economically thriving. And we believe that every community and voluntary organisation, charity, social enterprise, that they're all already working towards achieving at least one, if not more, of the Sustainable Development Goals. So that's, I suppose, really important for us and for our members. The Wheel is a member of the Coalition 2030. As Cliona has referenced already, that's an alliance of over 60 civil society organisations working together to ensure Ireland keeps to its promise to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals. And we're working with our members on a wide range of sustainability projects, including the Spark Change Awards. And you can find out lots more about all of that work at wheel.ie/SDGS. We love talking about community sustainability and the SDGs too, so you can get in touch with the team anytime on sustainability@wheel.ie. You can join in the conversation over at @_wheel_IRL on Twitter. If you've enjoyed the good stuff, you can subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts, and you can throw us an old review or a rating if you fancy that too. And keep an eye on your feed in the future for more episodes of the good stuff. Thanks for listening.